This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Huge guest in this episode for Under the Helmet. We got Fran Duffy, all things Eagles. You've heard him a lot on various broadcasts. And again, he is one of the valuable resources for the Philadelphia Eagles. I was able to pick his brain about the new look backfield. Hey, what are we going to see about the tuck push, some of those short yardage situations? How about all the big contract money that they gave Saquon Barkley? What's that going to do? We talk about the A.J. Brown contract, the Devonta Smith contract. Is there room for a wide receiver three in this offense? Plus, Dallas Goedert, talent level, NFL value versus maybe the stat line and why that's been lagging and why it may continue to lag here on the loaded Eagles offense. So much coming from Fran Duffy in this episode. And thanks to Fran for making time to come on and top it up, talk NFL player value, as well as spinning that over to fantasy and dynasty for us with the Eagles. Very interesting draft here in 2024. Fran Duffy, all things Eagles. You can find him the host of the Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. I love listening to that show, Fran. And post-draft here, some of my favorite players, some of my most interesting prospects ended up going to the Eagles. So I kind of wanted to lay of the land, pick your brain for a couple minutes here. As Will Shipley, a player that I really liked coming out, he didn't quite hit the Christian McCaffrey kind of threshold there for a dual threat guy, but he lands there early on day three. Kenneth Gainwell, do you consider him entrenched in the number two role? I know they've had a lot of allegiance to him over the years in that number two role and, frankly, impinging on the number one guy. So how do you feel about Shipley versus Gainwell and kind of what Shipley's progression could be there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the core philosophies in the Eagles facility is competition. And so I would think that they're going to let that will be the case here, not just at running back, but also at receiver, as we continue to talk about that as well. But, you know, I think when you look at Will Shipley, a lot of the things you mentioned, his ability to make plays out in space really stands out. And his ability to be a dual threat as both a runner and as a pass catcher really was something that caught the eye of this the coaching staff and of the scouting staff. He's got tough to be able to finish runs. They really like all ways that he can try and impact this team. And obviously those return chops as well could serve him well when it comes time to making this roster. So I think when you look at it, look, this is a team that lost Boston Scott in free agency. He signed with the Rams right after the draft. So there's a spot in the backfield, certainly, for him to be able to come in and try and compete for a role. You know, will that be Gainwell's role? You mentioned, this is a player in Kenny Gainwell that this coaching staff has shown a lot of allegiance to in the past. But remember, it's a new offensive coordinator, new play caller with Kellen Moore coming into the building. And so that competition, while the running back coach did say the same, so Jamal Singleton still here in Philadelphia. I think when you look at, you know, that position, that will be a fun one to track. But there's still the elephant in the room, obviously, of Saquon Barkley coming in and likely demanding the lion's share of the carries as a first year player coming in with that big contract and free agency.
Yeah, it's been years since the Eagles have really spent up at running back with a big contract. They got DeAndre Swift kind of on the wraparound and a depressed contract there and a depressed value. And I was just kind of curious, does that mean that they're going to have more of a feature role here? And that kind of dovetails into the tush push and, you know, some of the rushing that we've seen from Jalen Hurts. And I just kind of wonder, you know, does that contract, does that big number mean we're going to see much more of a centric role that we didn't get out of Miles Sanders? Ultimately, DeAndre Swift, we really didn't get the three down role. They mixed in Gainwell quite a bit. So I just wonder, you know, is the expectation Barkley's going to be more of a workhorse role that we've seen in recent years here for the Eagles?
Yeah, you know, I think the big thing that, you know, we've heard from Eagles general manager Howie Roseman throughout the offseason has been, you know, when it came to the Saquon Barkley decision, that look, the ability to acquire a player with this kind of talent does not come around regularly. So, yeah, we have not historically spent that kind of an asset, whether a high draft pick or big free agent dollars at that position. Well, we haven't had the access to be able to get a player like Saquon Barkley, you know, in that situation. And so it remains to be seen, like, kind of what that looks like in terms of on field results and how that determines, you know, play time inside the 5 yard line. Remember last year, it just felt like with DeAndre Swift, how many times do we see him go down at the 2 yard line, at the 1 yard line? And it's like, okay, well, you know, if you feel like natural regression is going to go back the other way, whether that was DeAndre Swift or if it's another player like Saquon Barkley, that kind of luck just isn't going to happen that way. So I think that just by natural attrition, I think you'll see things go back the other way in terms of, you know, maybe Saquon Barkley getting a little bit more production inside the 5 yard line than what we saw last year from the Eagles running backs.
Yeah, it seems like the confluence of factors here where Barkley gets the big money. He's a notable high-level profile here. And then you get Jason Kelce leaving. You get all this talk that, you know, and we saw Hurts play through injury. We saw him really wear down as that season progressed. Not that he wasn't successful, you know, in his rushing forays, but I just wonder if you combine Kelce with Hurts, and they're probably going to want to keep him healthier. And then you combine it with bringing in Saquon Barkley, where all these kind of interconnected. And I do wonder, are we going to see Hurts's, say, rushing touchdowns go in half, which is still a big number? You know, we're still talking about probably one of the higher guys in the entire NFL at the position. Do you think we're headed that way? Are people overreacting to maybe Kelce's absence and what he means to the offensive line and to their short yardage success?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that obviously, look, Jason Kelce, to me, a Hall of Famer and should go in the first time he's able to get in there. You know, they don't really use first ballot when it comes to the NFL, but I think he is like that kind of caliber player, and certainly has come into the limelight a lot, often, or most recently, I should say, because of the tush push. But, you know, look, they're sliding third-year guy Cam Jurgens into the center position this year. He's built very similarly to Jason Kelce, and so I don't think schematically things will change all that much. That would be my guess. And, you know, Jeff Stoutland, who has been the offensive line coach and the run game coordinator here in Philadelphia for over a decade now, since 2013, year one of Chip Kelly was when Jeff Stoutland was hired. I would imagine that a lot of that stuff is going to stay the same structurally with Cam Jurgens at center, because that skill set is similar. Now, are things going to change? You're going from a 13-year vet to a third-year player. Yes, things are going to change in terms of an execution standpoint and how things are called and all of that. But I think when you look at it, how it's structured, whether that's like the run game focus, and then also, like you mentioned, the with the tush push, I don't know that things would change all that much. To me, it's just about opportunity. And so if, let's say, you know, Saquon Barkley gets a handoff at the 6 yard line, and instead of going down at the 2 or going down at the 1, he's able to punch those in. That, I think, is what more determines like how many of those tush push opportunities we see for Jalen Hurts. But I would still imagine that would be a part of the Eagles arsenal going into 2024. And then also you obviously have the QB run game and some of the scrambles with Jalen Hurts as well. And so, I think, you know, it might end up being a wash. It might end up being that, hey, this offense is more productive last year, and so there's more volume for everybody. So it will be certainly fascinating to be able to follow that over the course of the season.
Can you talk about just the macro high level view on Jalen Hurts? Like, is the local and you know, beat that he has been progressing well as a passer? Is he one where you kind of look at it like Lamar Jackson? You look at it like a Cam Newton, where you say they never quite got home, you know, in their career arc of turning into an elite passer? Do you feel like he's already on that track? Like, what's kind of the general sentiment about Jalen Hurts? Obviously, huge dual threat player, but if you isolate just the passing, is the overall sentiment that he's on the right track? Is that kind of the missing link for them to take the next step and win a Super Bowl? Where do you kind of feel on that?
Yeah, so I think if you go, obviously, look, 2020 was the rookie season, and he was kind of like a spot player, a package player behind Carson Wentz. Then you go to 2021, and it was his second year, first year with Nick Sirianni. It was his first year starting in the NFL, and it was a slow burn. The first few games, it was a rocky start, and then they leaned heavily into the run game. He became a big part of that, and now, like, all right, arrows pointing up. They go and acquire A.J. Brown. You had another year with Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert taking that next step, the offensive line maturing into one of the top three units in the NFL. You get to 2022, and not only did the production spike, but to me, like, the efficiency with Jalen Hurts really spiked, and you saw really good things, huge strides from him as a pocket passer. And that went to third down, that went against the blitz. Like, a lot of his numbers really took a huge jump. And one of the underplayed storylines, honestly, like, coming down the stretch in 2022, that Super Bowl against the Chiefs, I mean, Chad, like, that was one of the best quarterback performances I've seen. He was remarkable in that football game. And so we didn't see that last year, 2023. And a big part of that, look, he was banged up, and he'll admit, like, hey, like, that was something that hurt him throughout the course of the year. But he's not going to make excuses for it. He's going to say, look, if I'm out there, I'm expected to play to the best of my abilities. But I think, look, he was certainly banged up throughout portions of the year last year. And then also just the execution was not quite there, especially against the blitz. And that was a tool that opposing defenses used time and time again to try and throw that offense off rhythm. And so I think that's something that we'll keep an eye on here going into 2024. When you bring in Kellen Moore, it's a new play caller, a new system there offensively. What does that look like? What are some of the answers that are provided to Jalen Hurts from that standpoint on the schematic end of things? But I mean, look, this is a team that after they paid Jalen Hurts a year and change ago, they extended Devontae Smith, they extended A.J. Brown. You still have Dallas Goedert. You go and you acquire Saquon Barkley. The offensive line, while losing Jason Kelce, is still going to be a good unit. So I think the ecosystem around Jalen Hurts, it's one of the best in football. And so I think when you look at it, the opportunity will certainly be there. And I think if you look at him in a vacuum, one thing that I've really taken away, because I've studied him, Chad, I follow draft stuff and watch these guys all throughout the course of their college career. I've seen Jalen Hurts just steadily improve. And we always say, like, improvement is not linear with football players. And, when you watch guys at other positions, Jalen is a unique bird in that way, and that he just always seems to be getting better and better and better. And it's like in the micro and in the macro. Like, I remember during the pre-draft process, seeing him at the Senior Bowl and then watching him throw live at the combine 3-4 weeks later and saying, like, man, like, all right, like, you could see some of the things that he's tightened up here. And then watching it from 20 to 2021. And I mentioned 2021 to 2022, the injury, I think, hurt him a little bit last year, but I'm excited to see what he looks like here this fall in 2024.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Excellent. Yeah. And you mentioned Dallas Goedert. I want to know, where does he fit? Because he strikes me as one of the better tight ends in the NFL. And yet the stat lines don't really align with, obviously his talent. He's getting closer to 30. We kind of are leaving that window where you typically see a tight end peak, but they signed huge contracts to A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith. So he's the third wheel. They haven't had much of a wide receiver three impact there. He just seems like he gets lost in terms of not having that huge Mark Andrews type season, that dominating, I am the passing game type role. And it seems like we're kind of locking into that. Is he someone that they view as critical? Is he someone that you can see moving on, in the next couple of years where they, get younger at the position? They go, we've paid at wide receiver. We can't afford Dallas Goedert per se. Where do you kind of see him fitting now, but also in maybe their long-term plans?
I think if you're looking purely at a skill set standpoint from his tools, I mean, he's a top five player at the position in football. To me, the issue from a fantasy standpoint with Dallas Goedert ultimately comes down to, like, volume and opportunity. And if you mentioned Mark Andrews, to me, if you swapped Mark Andrews and Dallas Goedert over the last 3 years, I think you'd probably see the same stat line for Mark Andrews here in Philadelphia that you're seeing with Goddard. And then you'd see Goddard take off from that production standpoint in Baltimore, just because Andrews has had the ability to be that number one threat in the passing game for Lamar Jackson so often. But here in Philadelphia, there was Zach Ertz for those first couple of years for Dallas Goedert. And then they make that trade in 2021 or 2020. Yeah, in the fall of 2021, they trade Ertz to Arizona. But then that offseason is when A.J. Brown comes in. And obviously, you know, you insert all of his targets in, and that's going to take some away from the pie for Dallas Goedert. So, you know, for me, I think if he's probably like better overall as a like an NFL, like real life football player, as opposed to a fantasy asset. But he's a player where, like, knock on wood, if there's an injury to a Devontae Smith or an A.J. Brown, like, then it's Dallas Goedert to the moon from a fantasy standpoint, because I think a lot of those targets go his way. There aren't a lot of tight ends in football that have that dual threat skill set in terms of being like a plus-plus blocker, but then also a plus athlete who's got the ability to create with the ball in his hands, who can make plays at all three levels. I mean, some of the things that he's done down the seam, after the catch, that to me, that's always been such a separator for tight ends. Who are the guys that can make plays with the ball in their hands? And so Dallas Goedert has the skill set to be that guy. To me, it's just a volume and opportunity question.
Last player I wanted to selfishly ask you about, and it was a late day three pick, one I was tracking closely, a unicorn prospect, is Johnny Wilson. And were you tracking this at all in terms of the pre-draft process, that it could be in the cards for the Eagles at all? And I haven't heard a whisper about him maybe moving to tight end during the process after the draft. And he's just a supersized wide receiver that you can squint and say he's got qualities like Mike Evans in his best case. Obviously, he didn't go that high in the draft, but they're already stacked at wide receiver one and two. So I kind of wonder, what's the plan? What are you looking for between now and week one? And Johnny Wilson, you got yourself a unicorn here.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you look at this receiving core, obviously they lose Quez Watkins in free agency, and he was the wide receiver three along with Olamide Zaccheaus, who they also lost in free agency this year. So from a depth chart standpoint, there was certainly a hole there for the Eagles going into this draft. And you say, okay, well, how do they look to address that? And they go and they acquire two receivers on day three, Anaya Smith from Texas A&M, and then Johnny Wilson, as you mentioned, from Florida State. So Wilson got drafted second of the two. But, you know, look, when we're talking like body types of the position, they couldn't be any more different. I mean, he might have, 55, 60 pounds, Johnny Wilson, on Anaya Smith. And so I think when you look at both of these players, it'll go back to what we talked about earlier with the running back position, where you go in, you compete, and you see who has that ability to try and compete for that third receiver job. The Eagles drafted these two guys. They also signed two veterans to one-year deals, Paris Campbell from the Giants, who has a history with Nick Sirianni in Indianapolis, and then also Devontae Parker, a former first-round pick who was with the Patriots the last couple of years. And again, kind of conflicting skill sets there. So just seeing how this all shakes out this summer is certainly worth tracking. But the big thing is competing for wide receiver three in this offense. And you keep in mind, like, the amount that they like to run the football. Saquon Barkley mentioned, like, all right, you have those other running backs that are going to be used in the offense as well. So you have Gainwell, you have Will Shipley, whoever is that second fiddle there at running back. But then you have Dallas Goedert, you have AJ, you have Devontae, you know, Jalen Hurts is going to get his shares. There's only so many footballs to be able to go around. And so if everyone's healthy, I think Anaya Smith and Johnny Wilson, they're more like long-term stashes, lottery ticket kind of situation. But that's something to track over the course of the summer, because if one of these guys starts to really stand out and carve out like a legitimate, like, oh, this guy, he's going to be on the field in three receiver sets every single time. And that this goes for Devontae Parker and Paris Campbell as well. That's where it's like, okay, there might be something here. But again, it's more like, if there's an injury, then that guy steps up into the pecking order, and now you have someone that's more reliable on an every week basis. But until then, it's going to be tough sledding from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I love it. It's more for ancillary roles and like you said, progression and grooming for a possible situation in the future. Fran Duffy, thank you so much for coming on at Eagles XOS on X and Eagle Eye in the Sky podcast. Again, must listen there for all the resources, all things Eagles. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Chad, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.